Let's sing number 416 in the church hymnal. Number 416. We'll have the sisters sing the second verse and the brethren sing the fourth verse. I think we'll sing all six verses.
Oh, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to know his
greetings in Jesus' name. One thing that just stood out to me about the last song that we sang is that I could actually understand it. I mean, I could understand you singing and what you were saying. I marvel at that. And the reason I marvel at that is because yesterday I was at the table where CDs were being given away with the kind of music that we sing. And a number of people came, and a number of people were very hesitant to take one. And some people wanted to know what kind of music it was. And I explained to them that it is traditional hymn music sung without instrumentation. And one lady made the comment, she said, I will actually be able to understand it all. And I said, well, I believe you will. And I said, in case you don't understand every word, there's a brochure inside that has the words of all the songs so you can follow along. Then another lady came and picked up one and asked a little bit about the style of music again. And she said, in my church, she said, there are so many cymbals and so many drums and so much clashing music. She said, I can't even hear myself think. And I said, well, I don't think you have to worry with this. And all of this was a reconfirmation for me, a beautiful reconfirmation that the type of music that we sing is proper and good. And we have every right to promote it and every right to declare that we will not in our midst accept other forms of music that are clashing and loud and people can't even hear themselves think. My sister, who has been here a couple times, made the comment that she likes her preacher, she likes the people in her church, but she says she loves to come here because she can understand the music, and it speaks to her, and it is soothing. And she said, the music in my church is deafening. And so I just want to encourage us in that. The devotional this morning I've entitled Labels, L-A-B-E-L-S. And we all read labels one way or another. We're all being watched. And people are labeling us, whether we like it or not. There's a familiar song that we sing sometimes. Somebody follows you, watching the things you do. And then it goes on to say, walk in the light and be pure in his sight. Somebody follows you. Now, Bible's passage, it speaks to that concept of our witness and testimony and the fact that other people are watching is 1 Peter 2, 11 through 17. If you would turn there in your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 17. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation or your manner of life honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And so the world is watching. And we put a great deal of emphasis on the heart. And rightfully so, because if the heart isn't right, then all is lost in our lives. However, the world around us sees and hears the external. And so the external must match the heart. And that's one of the things that this passage is teaching, that by our good works, which they shall behold, that they may glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, according to these verses, our mission is to lead honest lives that speak to the world around us. And people are going to be impressed one way or another. You've heard people say, I was really impressed. And sometimes they mean they were impressed for the good, and sometimes they mean the opposite. They were impressed that something was not very good. Will people be impressed with my honesty, with my love for the Lord, and my consistency? Or will they be impressed that I am not living up to what I proclaim, that I'm using the label Christian but not really living up to it? What do people see when they look at my life? Being called a Christian reminds me of the labels that we have on things. We have lots of labels. We have certain trademarks on things that say who made it. And sometimes they're important to us, that a certain object was made by a certain company and we trust that company. And we call that a trademark. Trademarks came about even back in the Middle Ages. And it came about because of the need for good workmanship. And it was especially true with objects that were made out of gold or silver or other precious metals. And people would say, is this really genuine or isn't it? And so the governments set up laws asking those craftsmen who were making these things to put a special mark representing them so people knew who the craftsman was. Otherwise, unscrupulous people could make things out of copper or maybe partly out of cheaper metals, and it would look about as good as that which was made out of gold or silver. And so a lot of laws were passed requiring each craftsman to put a mark of ownership on his products that identified his products. And this system grew and grew until today we have a very elaborate system of patents and trademarks and copyrights. And it helps protect people and also helps us to know what's genuine or not. We were down in Belize about a year and a half ago, and we got to visit the factory where Marie Sharp makes her hot sauces and many other things that she makes there. And before it was over, we got to meet Marie herself. A very dignified-looking lady walked in, and I suspected instantly that it must be Marie Sharp. And so we asked her about it, and it was her. And then we mentioned that we had seen some of her products in stores in this country. And she said, "You have to be very, very careful." She said, "People have stolen my," she didn't use the word trademark, but she said, "People have stolen my identity. They have stolen what she has pictured on the front of every one of her products." And she said, "It's false." And she grieves over that somebody stole it, and so they're selling Marie Sharp stuff in this country that is not genuinely Marie Sharp's. And so we need a system like that, and so people are looking at our lives, and people can maybe look ever so good, and yet they're not really living up to their label or what their label says. People are looking on, and they're reading your label and my label. Are we genuine? Are our lives demonstrating what we believe? Do we have the label that identifies us with Jesus Christ? It was interesting in going through the book of Acts to notice the different names that were used for Christianity and Christians. Acts 9:2 calls the followers of Jesus Christ this way, simply uses the term way, which refers to a way to God, a way to truth, and a way to light. And that's what Christians were all about. And when people were looking at the early Christians, that's what they saw. In Acts 11:26, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And Christians, of course, identifying them with Jesus Christ. Now, somebody told me yesterday that 73% of the people in this country say that they are Christians. And yet, how many really are? How many are really living up to the label? We're not to judge. Acts 24:5 calls Christians something else that's less dignified. There, they're called the sect of the Nazarenes. And the word sect refers to heresy, false teaching. Are we willing to be counted as fools for the sake of Jesus Christ and of his gospel? And then in Acts 24:14, as the church continued to face opposition, they were called the way, which they call heresy. And are we willing to take a stand for Jesus Christ and for the truth and obedience to the truth, that there would be some people who might even call us heretics, the way of heresy? Our labels must be true. And notice this passage that we first read from 1 Peter chapter 2. It refers to different ways that our label shows. One of them, it says, abstain from fleshly lust. That's verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 2. And that's one of the marks, one of the trademarks of being a genuine Christian. Having your conversation honest before other people. Do people see our honesty and our integrity? Or do they look upon us as money grabbers and people who will compromise to make money? Good works is mentioned in verse 12. Submitting to authorities is mentioned in verse 13. Not malicious, but serving God is mentioned in verse 16. Then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it speaks of Jesus Christ, the craftsman of the believer, and it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We are his workmanship. And so if we have the name Christian, is that mark that we have on us, is it really reflecting his workmanship? We're to have his trademark, so to speak. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says he has sealed us and given us an earnest, the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, the seal, a seal is a stamp of ownership or a stamp of identification of some kind. And so when we have the Holy Spirit truly in our hearts, it is a seal, a stamp. And it's a seal or a stamp of protection from God, and it's a seal or a stamp of identification. Our trademark of being followers of Jesus Christ must be backed up by our lives and our obedience. It must be backed up by a good report. 1 Timothy 3, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. And that's referring to one of the qualifications for the for leadership in the church. Then the Bible also says, and we might think this is contradictory at first, it says, beware when all men speak well of you. And it says we're supposed to have a good report. And it says, but beware when they speak well of you. And that certainly would include people who are using flattery and trying to get us to go in the wrong direction. And maybe they're trying to speak well of us. Well, our label must be backed by honesty. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. We read that earlier. Our label must be backed up by steadfastness in the faith. In 2 Timothy 1, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Is my life reflecting the trademark of the master craftsman? Do I demonstrate Jesus Christ? Am I living up to the world's expectations of what a genuine Christian should be? And more important, am I living up to God's expectation of what he wants us to be? Many years ago in the Anabaptist movement, during the time of the Anabaptist movement, there was one enemy of the Anabaptists. And he had observed the lives of many of the people who were Anabaptists. And he wrote down a comment, or a lengthy comment, I guess you'd say, about these people and what their lives reflected. And I thought that I would read this in closing. And I can ask myself the question, is my life reflecting Jesus Christ like this is being stated? Now, remember that this person who wrote this was an enemy of the Anabaptists. He says, as concerns their outward public life, they are irreproachable. No lying, deception, swearing, strife, harsh language, intemperate eating and drinking. No outward personal display is found among them, but humility, patience, uprightness, neatness, honesty, temperance, straightforwardness in such measure that one would suppose that they have the Holy Spirit of God. Do people suppose that you and I have the Holy Spirit of God? Let's kneel together in prayer.